Like the Persian, I can give no further explanation touching the apparition of this shade. Whereas in this historic narrative everything else will be normally explained, however abnormal the course of events may seem, I cannot give the reader expressly to understand what the Persian meant by the words, "It is someone much worse than that." The reader must try to guess for himself, for I promised Monsieur Pedro Gaillard, the former manager of the opera, to keep his secret regarding the extremely interesting and useful personality of the wandering cloaked shade, which, while condemning itself to live in the cellars of the opera, rendered such immense services to those who, on gala evenings, for instance, ventured to stray away from the stage. I am speaking of state services, and upon my word of honor I can say no more. "It's not he." "He? If he does not come behind us, we shall always see his yellow eyes. That is more or less our safeguard tonight. But he may come from behind, stealing up. And we are dead men if we do not keep our hands as though about to fire at the level of our eyes in front." The Persian had hardly finished speaking when a fantastic face came in sight. A whole fiery face, not only two yellow eyes. Yes, a head of fire came toward them at a man's height, but with no body attached to it. The face shed fire, looked in the darkness like a flame shaped as a man's face. "Oh," said the Persian between his teeth, "I have never seen this before. Pompin was not mad after all. He had seen it. What can that flame be? It is not he, but he may have sent it. Take care, take care. Your hand at the level of your eyes, in heaven's name, the level of your eyes. I know most of his tricks, but not this one. Come, let us run. It is safer. Hand at the level of your eyes." And they fled down the long passage that opened before them. After a few seconds, that seemed to them like long minutes, they stopped. "He doesn't often come this way," said the Persian. "This side has nothing to do with him. This side does not lead to the lake, nor to the house on the lake. But perhaps he knows that we are at his heels, although I promised him to leave him alone and never to meddle in his business again." So saying, he turned his head, and Raoul also turned his head. And they saw again the head of fire behind their two heads. It had followed them, and it must have run also, and perhaps faster than they, for it seemed to be nearer to them. At the same time, they began to perceive a certain noise of which they could not guess the nature. They simply noticed that the sound seemed to move and to approach with the fiery face. It was a noise as though thousands of nails had been scraped against a blackboard, the perfectly unendurable noise that is sometimes made by a little stone inside the chalk that grates on the blackboard. They continued to retreat, but the fiery face came on, gaining on them. They could see its features clearly now. The eyes were round and staring, the nose a little crooked, and the mouth large, with a hanging lower lip, very like the eyes, nose, and lip of the moon when the moon is quite red, bright red.